Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, one of many services presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm chatting with Linda Weaver Clark. Linda received her Bachelor of Arts degree at Southern Utah University and received the Outstanding Non-Traditional Student Award from the College of Performing Arts in 2002. She writes articles for several newspapers and teaches a writing workshop, encouraging others to turn their family history into a variety of interesting stories. Linda has written a historical fiction love story entitled Melinda and the Wild West, published by American Book Publishing. We're going to talk with Linda today about this novel, which is the first of four in a family saga. To use her own words, Linda is happily married, the mother of six beautiful daughters and four wonderful grandchildren. Linda, thank you for joining us today to talk about your new book.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Great. Now, I have a few things I'd like to just, you know, plow into about your book. First of all, in your novel, Melinda and the Wild West, tell us where your story takes place and the time frame.
It takes place in Paris, Idaho. It's known as Bear Lake Valley, and the time frame is from 1896 to 1897.
Okay, and who is Melinda, and why is she so important to you personally, as well as her role in the theme of your story?
She's a school teacher. She's from Boston, and she decides that she wants to move west and teach school. Well, her mother feels like this is a terrible decision for her to make because she's leaving the comforts of her home, city life, and moving to the Wild West. But she tries to explain to her mother that she wants to do some good in her life, make a difference in the lives of these children, and perhaps she can do it out west. And in the end, it's not just the children who change, but Melinda's life changes as well.
As ever the case will be, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Melinda represents a real-life person in your own family, doesn't she?
Well, actually, a variety of different people.
Okay.
Little personalities here and there, just little stories taken from backgrounds of family ancestors and other people, just to bring alive the 1890s, mm-hmm. to help it feel real.
Wow, right, exactly. Well, now, I understand that Melinda goes through a number of conflicts, conflicting experiences, and those experiences have helped to make this story so intriguing. Can you share some of those with us?
Sure. She's faced with many obstacles, such as dealing with a rebellious student. The first thing she finds out about this student is that the teacher has labeled her as a rebellious student, as a troublemaker. And she, all of the students picked up on it and has treated her very rudely, not showing any friendship towards her. And Melinda has to help this young girl. Her name is Jenny. She's 8 years old. She has to help her and through love and acceptance, and she has to teach the students to accept her. And then the next obstacle she comes upon is a bank robbery by the notorious Butch Cassidy, which happens to be a true story. I was able to use every bit of the detail of that bank robbery, and then I had to find out a lot about Butch Cassidy and his personality, so I could put that in as well, and Melinda was there during the bank robbery. The next thing she comes upon is an irritable grizzly bear, and being a city girl, she doesn't know that you're not supposed to stay around when there's a grizzly bear, and instead of very quietly sneaking away, she decides to watch. And this
open invitation, huh?
Yes. The grizzly bear is digging for roots and eating, and he senses her presence, and he turns, and when he realizes that she's there, he decides that he's not going to put up with her standing there, and he charges towards her. The piercing, growling sound that she hears from his voice, she realizes that there's no way out of this. The bear will get her, but the only thing she can think of is to run, so she turns and runs, and every limb of her body is shaking, and she feels like she's running in slow motion, and with all of this kind of tension building up inside of her, she is not able to run like she usually does, and she trips, she falls right down into the mud, but of course, the hero has to come and save her,
uh-huh.
because she's the heroine in this story. Then the next thing she comes upon is a blinding blizzard that leaves her clinging to her life. She has to go and get a doctor for her uncle, who has fallen. She's staying with her uncle and aunt. And so she goes searching for the doctor, and she loses her bearings. In a blizzard, you can't see more than 8-10 feet in front of you, and she loses which is north, south, east, or west, and gets lost. And so that's an interesting part of the story. And
but
then the next...
manages to survive that, right?
Yeah. And then the next part that is very intriguing is the rugged and stubborn rancher she comes upon. She's never met anybody so stubborn before, and every time they meet, they tend to butt heads or clash with each encounter. And this story is centered around the relationship of Melinda and this rancher. His name is Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you want to know more about how they meet, you can go to my website, which is www.lindaweaverclark.com. There's an E at the end of Clark, and you can read an excerpt there.
Great, great. Well, tell us a little bit about, now this rugged character, a hero, is also a rancher, is that right?
Yes.
Us more about him. Tell us about him and who he is exactly.
All right. His name's Gilbert. He's a widower. And he's the father of little 8-year-old Jenny, the rebellious student.
Mm-hmm.
And he just happens to have an underlying interest in Melinda, which he keeps fighting. He finds himself thinking about her quite often, but there's something that bothers him. They are so different. He's a rancher. She was raised in the city in Boston. But there's something more that bothers him that Melinda doesn't know, and she's always wondering, why can't he ever tell how he feels? Why can't he express his feelings? And this really confuses her, why he can't. Well, Gilbert realizes that he's attracted to Melinda, but he's just too wrapped up in his own problems. Melinda doesn't find out what those concerns are until later on in the book, but just to let you know, this story does have the tenderness of romance. I really believe that romance in books is a very important part of our life, and something like this can help us think of our priorities. For example, so many times in our life, our babies take our time. They're sick at night, or we have children we have to run around to one event or another, or financial problems, or our husbands are working too many hours, or we are. All those things can help us forget about the romance in our lives. And I think romance in a book can help bring this out and help us to remember our lives with our spouses and put their priorities in the right places.
Perspective, huh? I think you're right. These things help us to put aspects of life in perspective.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, now we already know that Jenny is Gilbert's daughter, and that she's 8, and that her mother died. So tell us, obviously there's enough right there to understand why the child would be so rebellious, but tell us more.
Okay. When Melinda finds out that the teacher had labeled her as a troublemaker, she realized that she had to nip this in the bud. She had to make it so that this child didn't live up to what had been labeled on her. You see, this is a stigma, and this is what Melinda realizes. There's a stigma that Jenny will have to live with for the rest of her life, or school years, actually, if she didn't put a stop to it. And so many times this happens in everybody's life,
mm-hmm.
in our own children's lives.
It happens today, doesn't it? It still happens
yes.
today.
Yes, this is something that I had to deal with my own children, even with my own self as a child. Peer pressure, name-calling, disrespect for classmates, and even teachers having disrespect towards their students.
Mm-hmm.
All of this makes a child feel rebellious, and they don't want to work. They don't want to put forth the effort. And that was something that, since I had to deal with something like that also, I felt like it was a very good subject. Plus, I did take this from a true story. Little Jenny, all of the things that happened to her came from a true story. I believe what the philosopher Goethe said, the German philosopher, he mm-hmm. said, if you treat an individual as he is, he will stay as he is. But if you treat him as he could be, then he will become as he ought to be.
I so believe that. And yet it's true, too, that no matter how we're treated, we have a choice of whether we elect to embrace that characterization that somebody else has put upon us, or to create our own.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So yes. This little darling, here she is, 8 years old. She's lost her mother, and you haven't told us yet how old she was when her mother died.
At birth. She died at childbirth.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
Gilbert, yes, Gilbert had to raise her himself. And that was one thing that Melinda really respects on him, because he could have very easily asked the help of his parents, asked the help of his wife's parents, but he decided to do it on his own.
That
she was
his
daughter.
Marvelous. That is marvelous. That's marvelous. But on top of all that, here's this child trying to cope without a mother and with a father who's doing the best he can, and then to get labeled by a school teacher as a rebel rouser. That's
yes.
hard for any child, and so young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Linda...
Yeah.
I'd like to invite you to read some excerpts from your book, if you would, please.
Okay, I'd be glad to.
Okay.
Let's see here. I would like to begin with Melinda wandering the lush green fields of Paris and, you know, looking at the beauties all around her. It's her first time to really take time in the fields, and when she sees an inviting cool stream, she tosses aside her shoes and socks and gathers her skirts up with her left hand, and as she walks down the middle of the stream, she holds her right hand out poised to keep her balance. The fresh, cool water trickled against her ankles, and it felt so refreshing. Melinda stopped for a moment and watched a couple of birds flying and swooping in the air, chasing one another. Is this a form of courtship, or are they having a lover's spat? She wondered. The thought made her laugh out loud, and her long eyelashes seemed to flirt with the breeze as she waded through the stream. Melinda noticed the stream curved to the right. Looking up, she was startled to see someone watching her in the middle of her reverie. She stopped abruptly where she was, and her lips parted with surprise. She brushed a loose curl from her eyes with the back of her hand and smiled. In a most subdued manner, she spoke, "Hello." The man stared at her with piercing brown eyes, as if he were searching for an explanation. He was an imposing figure, 6'2" tall, and every inch of him was muscle. He had broad shoulders, dark brown hair, and was ruggedly handsome. His arms were tanned from the sun, and his shirt could not hide the bulging muscles rippling across his shoulders and chest. Melinda guessed that he was about 30 years of age, and the sight of him took her breath away. His thumbs were tucked behind his belt as he stood watching her, and he had a smile on his face, as if he were amused by her actions. Here she was, a grown woman, wading in a stream of water like some child. She was so embarrassed. Now, just to let you know, when you write a book, if your hero is going to be a rancher or a farmer,
mm-hmm.
they have to have a completely different build than a man that's going to sit behind a desk or a banker.
So don't anyone take this personally if they're not a rancher, right?
Yeah, that's right. Because you have to do lots of research on what kind of build that character is going to be depending on their occupation. I found out that in the 1890s, men had to work hard for a living. They used their brawn, their muscles. They had to
that's
work
right.
hard. And my father, he wrote in his autobiography that when he was 16 years old, he could lift 150 pounds of grain, and he threw one sack after another into the back of the truck. He was proud of his muscles. He put it in his autobiography that he could lift that much at age 16.
Well, that's right.
And I found out in reading about the men of the West that they were proud of their strength. And you know what the two games they played? Wrestling and stick pole. Stick pole is where each man takes the stick and the one who can pull the other man off his buttocks and into the air, he was the winner. So the games they loved were games of strength, wrestling.
Exactly, exactly. Because it was such a different time then. There weren't that many desk jobs.
Yes, yeah.
Well, most work had to be done hard personal labor. So
yeah.
That's wonderful. That's
right.
Wonderful.
So this was a new thing to Melinda. She wasn't used to seeing this kind of a build in a man. She came from the city. Her father was a banker. The man that was dating her sat behind a desk.
Mm-hmm.
She had never met somebody that had this kind of build, and it was quite breathtaking to her. She started to wonder, is this what all men are built like out in the Wild West?
Probably not.
Not those that sat at a desk.
That's right. That's right. Well, Linda, we are just about out of time, and I want to wrap things up here.
Mm-hmm.
So at this moment, tell us where we can buy the book, Melinda and the Wild West.
Well, it can be very easy. You can go to my website, which is www.lindaweaverclark.com. Make sure there's an E at the end of Clark. And then you go to Purchase Book. And when you click on that, that takes you right to my publisher's web, to my publisher's name, which is Publisher Direct Bookstore. You click on that word, and it takes you right to my publisher's website. And my book will appear, and you can buy it that way.
Great. Wonderful. Are there other ways?
Yes, you can go to Publisher Direct Bookstore, which is pdbookstore.com.
Okay.
And PD for Publisher Direct.
Oh, good.
So Publisher Direct, so it's pdbookstore.com. And then you can search for it, search for my book that way. You'll have to, go to the right genre and everything to find it that way.
And tell us the genre that it's listed under.
It's historical fiction.
It is.
And
okay.
it's also a romance, so I don't know if they might put it underneath that also.
Good. That's good for the audience to know. That is good. Well, Linda, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Your book sounds wonderful and full of inspiration, actually. So it's terrific to have books like that out here. And as you said earlier in our conversation, the fact that it provides reminders about how to put aspects of life in perspective again, including romance and things of that sort, are so important for us to be reminded of every day.
Yes.
So I want to encourage everyone out there to go to readerviews.com, readerviews.com, to look over the reviews about this book. And know, too, that this Internet radio segment will be posted to that website as well as to Linda's own website. And I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own library or as a gift. Thank you again, Linda, for joining us. And thank you all.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell, for Inside Scoop Live. Until the next time, bye-bye.